Father, we come today and we thank you that there is something such as the truth. And we thank you that you are that truth and that we have your revelation and we have your manifestation of that truth in your word and in the person of your Son. And there is no truth except your truth. So we pray today that you will, in this age of so many competing ideas, that you will, Lord, impress this upon us as never before, and that in a world that is going every direction except in your direction, we would be careful as never before to hold to your truth. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. As I think of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, one of the things that always brings great joy and delight to me is the knowledge that this church, from its very beginning when it was still only a Sunday school class in 1903, and had not yet quite been organized as a church, which happened in May of 1904, that this church from the very beginning was based on the truth. How many have read that in the end time many will depart from the truth? And we're seeing it with our own eyes. And we are seeing in our society the outworking of having turned away from the truth. In my Sunday school class this morning, Vicki Hannah said, pray for my second cousins or whatever, their distant relatives down in Georgia. The mom and the dad, older folks. Two guys came in to rob them and shot them in the head with a shotgun and killed them. This is the kind of thing we're seeing more and more. And you say, well, what has that got to do with what's preached? Oh, it has everything to do with what's preached. It has everything to do with what's preached, what's proclaimed, what's believed, what's practiced. And when we turn away from the truth of God, we can have all of our technologies and we can have all of our stuff, but we're going to get exactly what we've bargained for. Have you ever seen things as bloody and as violent as they are in the Middle East right now? Have you? In your lifetime? It's always been a mess over there. But today more than ever before, and worldwide, whole countries are coming apart at the seams. You don't hear it much in the news here, but many of our countries south of the border, they're not much better off than Libya, so far as how the crime and the violence and everything is. You don't hear it daily, but it is, because people have turned away from the truth. And in our country, we're turning away from the truth, and God in his mercy and grace, and because there are still a lot of believers, he has held off the harsher judgments, but we are already seeing the outplaying of it day after day after day, and it's only going, I'm sorry, I'm not a pessimist, but I'm a realist. Unless something changes, it's only going to get worse. You're not going to know our country in 5 or 10 years. It's already been altered beyond what we realize, because we're in that turn the heat up just a little bit at a time, frog in the tub syndrome. But it gives me great joy to know that the truth has always gone from this pulpit. And my desire and prayer is that it always will. And if one day the churches have to close their doors because the government says, because you're not, you know, you're discriminating over here or over there or whatever, and you can't do that, you can't continue to operate, and the church has to go underground, so be it. But why would we not sacrifice the truth? Because if you sacrifice the truth, nothing is left. That's why. There is no substitute for the truth. And the truth, I should have included that in the notes, and I hope you'll write it in your margin if you do these notes and go through them somewhere. The truth, there is only one truth. That needs to be written somewhere, And the truth does not change. It doesn't change just because the mores of a country or of a society or globally change. The truth is the truth. And there is only one truth. So, here's a few verses we put at the top of the notes. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, and what he really said was, if you remain in my word, that's the Greek, if you remain or stay or abide in my word, if you stay in my word, then you are really my disciples. So apparently not everybody is really a disciple that claims to be or looks like a disciple on the outside. If you remain in my word, then you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? The truth will set you free. What truth? His truth. The only truth that there is. No other truth will set you free from sin. That's why the world hates it. There is no other truth. The devil has been saying there's another truth from the very beginning. He said, did God really say? And then he said, you won't really die. In other words, that's not entirely true. Oh, yes, it is. And so let's go through. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then as he prays for his disciples and even for you and me, for all believers who were yet to come, he says to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And so we have the truth of Scripture. And I would hope that as believers today, we will not give in to the pressures. We will not compromise. We can love. Jesus loved. But Jesus never compromised the truth. That's what we forget. And compromising the truth is not loving. Because once you begin to compromise even on minor points of the truth, it's a process that never stops. And if you give in here, where else are you going to give in later? That's what's happened to the church, the visible church. And they sold this little piece of truth, and this little piece of truth, and this little piece of truth. And pretty soon, you don't have anything left. So we can't go down that road. And we want to be holding to the truth. Now, is holding to the truth fashionable? I don't think it's fashionable. Actually, I don't think it's ever been fashionable. It's probably less fashionable today than it's ever been. But holding to the truth, I mean, if the truth was all that fashionable, why were all those early believers persecuted, put in jail, beheaded, tortured, and burned at the stake? I don't think the truth has ever been fashionable. So forget about that. If we're trying to be fashionable, then let's just go whole hog and go with the world and just forget about the truth. But the problem with the church today is we want to have some truth, but then we want to compromise on some of it. That doesn't work. We either subscribe to the truth or we don't. And again, my prayer and desire is that we would be holding to the truth. So let's do the observations. Number one, only through the truth can we really know who we are and why we're here. And understand God's purpose for the future. I read a quote this week, supposedly from the man who was credited with the Big Bang Theory. The headline said, quoting him, religion has nothing to say to us. How lofty. And to him, it doesn't. Now, religion, I'm like, yeah, there's another side to that. Just religion doesn't. But of course, he would lump Christianity and he would lump the scriptures into that has absolutely, you know, what he's saying is the idea of a God has absolutely no relevance to us at this time because we know that it is not so. Only through the truth can we truly know who we are and why we're here and understand God's purposes for the future. And now, when I say the truth, I'm only talking about one truth. I'm talking about God's truth. I'm talking about God's truth as revealed in the 66 books of the Scripture as we have them. And I'm speaking of the incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, exalted to God's right hand, who is the truth. That's the truth that we're talking about, God's truth, because there is no other. Only through the truth can we truly know who we are and why we're here and understand God's purposes for the future. It says in one place in the New Testament, always learning and never able to come to the truth. That describes our society today. The headlines are just getting weirder and weirder. I read one this week. We're talking about transplanting heads now, and the title of that one was, What We're Seeking is Immortality. Again, how lofty, and what a deception. And man will keep searching. He can figure out the whole DNA. He can figure out how to tamper with a little gene here and a little gene over here and get the color eyes you want in that unborn baby if you choose not to abort it first. But can never figure out what the true source of life is. Of course not, because you're looking in all the wrong places. How many remember that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places? People are looking for truth in all the wrong places. Because truth is found in the Word of God. Only through the truth can we truly know who we are and why we're here and understand God's purposes for the future. There's a class that started first of the year, Firm Foundations, Creation to Christ. What is that about, Daryl? Isn't it about learning the truth about who we are, what our origin is, what our need is, and all the rest? Truth Seekers class, they're going through it too. Firm Foundations. Hey, God's truth, because it's the only foundation that we can build on. It's the only foundation that's going to get us where we need to be. You can have all the scientific knowledge in the world, and if you die without Christ, you're lost. Number two, we will never know the truth except through the Word of God. We'll never know it because that's the only place it's found. It won't be found. Yeah, but God's Word seems so antiquated. It seems so out of sync with what we've learned now as modern men, with all this knowledge we have. It just seems so irrelevant, so out of sync. Yeah, do you think there's a reason for that? Truth doesn't change. God's truth doesn't change. We make up our own truth based on what we think are facts and realities. I would dare any scientist to say, I know all the mysteries of the universe. Even with their egos, I don't think there's one that would make that claim. No, we will never know the truth except through the Word of God. That applies before we're saved, the truth of God, of our condition, our lostness, where the Holy Spirit can then bring conviction, bring us to repentance, bring us to a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only truth that'll save us. How many believe that? It's the only truth that'll save us. And then once we're believers, the only truth that'll get us where we need to be, that'll get our attitudes to where they ought to be, that'll get our life and our conduct to where it ought to be, and all of those things. And it will make us what we ought to be in Him. Where are we going to find it except right here? And be careful. We have more Christian literature out there today than we have ever had before. I think sometimes that's both good and bad. Because the more commentary we have on the Scripture, unfortunately, the more of man's opinion we get along with it. So be careful and stay close to the Word of God. I'll go, I'll read a little here and there, a little there. Certain trusted people that we know were rooted and grounded in the truth. You all heard about the Quaker, right? That said to his wife, he said, sweetheart, everyone is peculiar except me and thee. And sometimes I think thou art a little peculiar. And even as we read somebody's comments, you know, on the scripture, even if there's somebody trusted who's reading and grounded in the Word, even their comments once in a while, we have to take with a grain of salt. Agreed? The truth is only in God's Word. The only way we'll ever know the truth is God's Word. That's true before we're saved. It's true after we're saved. And we say, well, the truth of God is for salvation, but I'm going to get my information on how to live from popular thought out there. I don't think so. Let's stick with the Word of God. Number three, just as in number two, we will never know the truth except through the Word of God. Number three, we will never experience God's truth except through Christ. Somebody told me prior to Friday's memorial service, and by the way, the church was full. This section, the Dorcas area were all modestly full for Faye Reardon's funeral. Someone said to me, there's going to be a lot of unsaved people there. I just thought I would put that bug in your ear. They said, there are going to be a lot of people there that know of God, but don't know God. How many people know of God and even know a lot of the truth of Scripture, but they've never acted on it and never received Christ as Savior? Is that truth doing them any good? We will never know the truth except through the Word of God, but we will never experience His truth except through Christ. Until we come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we will never experience any of the truth of God that we already know about. And the same is true, of course, after salvation, day by day. I'm still experiencing the benefits of having trusted Christ as my Savior, maybe a week or two before I turn 12 years old. I'm still experiencing the benefits of that every day. And every single benefit that I continue to experience in my life. How many have experienced blessings through knowing Jesus as Savior? See, everything of God's truth, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to actually experience it. We will never know it except for the Word. We will never experience it except through the person of Christ. And that also, that's absolutely true and never ceases to be true. Everything we have and are as believers is in, by, and through Jesus Christ. Take Jesus Christ out of the equation, you have absolutely nothing left. It would be like, well, taking it all back. It's all through Christ. All of it. Number four. If the truth is not our foundation, we have no foundation. There's a scripture kind of like that. If the foundations are destroyed, what will we do? What's left? And you see today, there's a lot of people kind of enamored with the truth. But they don't want it as a foundation. They want it as an add-on. that too, along with some other stuff. Mm-mm. That's not how it works. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them, I'm going to say doesn't act on them, doesn't do them. Whoever hears these words of mine, they've heard them. They might have agreed with them mentally. And doesn't act on them. Who is that person like according to Jesus? The one who built his house on the sand. No foundation. And the wind came and the rain came and the storm came and blew. And what happened to the house? Why? He had a pretty house. It didn't have a what? Foundation. The truth can't be an add-on. The truth has to be the foundation. Foundation means it's the determiner in what I think about things. It's a determiner how I see things. It's a determiner of what I do and what I don't do and of my core values and what I really have built my life on. It's not an add-on to some other things. It is the foundation. And if it isn't the foundation, I don't have anything to build on, and everything that I'm building is going to be proven false. And it's going to come down and it's going to crumble like a, I hear this one a lot these days, house of cards. And that's how it's going to be. And only what is actually based on the truth. And Martin Luther, bless his heart. And I mean that. I mean, God bless him, who restored some of the core truths to people. And he was kind of rough around the edges. If you read his story. I mean, he was human. He was kind of rough. But one thing is, he stood on the truth of God. He literally would write it on the walls. Like it says in the scripture. And stand on that truth. Because that truth, when everything else, how many heard of the earthquake in Nepal yesterday? When everything, the scripture says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And it says the things that are seen are temporal, the things that are unseen are eternal. When everything is shaken that can be shaken, the only thing that's going to be left is what? The truth. And everything else is going to be in shambles. Everything the nations have built their policies on and everything, all of it's going to be in shambles, just like those pictures you're seeing out of Nepal. And the only thing standing will be the truth. If the truth is not our foundation, we have no foundation. And that's why, you know, we can profess and we can do this and we can do that and all the other, and then some life crisis comes along and we behave in an ungodly manner and go in an ungodly direction. Do you know why that happens? Forget names. Stick in any name you want. It's because the truth wasn't the foundation. Because if it had been, that wouldn't have happened. It's a fact. Number five. The truth cannot be compromised or softened and still be truth. I wasn't even thinking about this, Daryl, when we were in the class. I said, we were talking of ketchup, of all the things. You don't know what we talk about in my Sunday school class? We were talking about ketchup. How some people like to put ketchup on everything. They want it on their waffles. They want it on their scrambled eggs. They want You know, and but I was talking about kids, and I said, you know, and we were talking about Hershey's chocolate syrup. Some people want chocolate syrup on everything. I said, now there's a product that hasn't changed in all the years. And I said, if they were to change one thing about it, it would no longer be perfect. There's an old saying, you cannot improve on perfection. I said, the same is true of Heinz ketchup. No charge for the commercial. If you changed one ingredient, it would no longer be Heinz ketchup. It would be Del Monte or something else. I read a book one time, Mama Was a Missionary, by a fellow named Ludwig. They were in Africa. He said what they looked forward to was once a year or whatever it was when some folks from the States would send them some Heinz ketchup. But if you change one thing about it, it's no longer the real deal. Some things can't be improved on. That's God's truth. Leave it alone. Can't be compromised. Can't be softened. Because then it's not really the truth anymore. And if and in the physical realm, we're picky. We're like, oh, this ain't the quality I was looking for. They must have changed something in the formula or something. You know, this isn't the Valspar paint I use. Anyway, whatever. Can't tamper with it, because then it would no longer be the truth. So why go there? Why try that? The truth is the truth. Do I love the truth? Or do I love the praise of men? That was a question in Jesus' day, and it's still a question today. And number six, and this is why we've got to hold to it as never before. If the wind's blowing, and all of a sudden you're holding something, the wind's trying to take it out of your hand, something precious, and all of a sudden, the wind gusts to twice what it was before, what are you going to do? Loosen your grip or hold it even tighter? Six, in these closing days of time, the truth is under assault as never before. It's 24/7. It's all over the TV. It's all over the internet. It's in the news. What they're pushing on us in the news. It is everywhere we turn. The truth is under a full assault, no matter where we turn. And so as believers, instead of saying, oh my goodness, sometimes we get tired, just hold to the truth. The truth will get you there. And the truth will get you where you need to be. And nothing else will. So as the truth comes under even heavier assault, it's even more incumbent as believers that we hold to the truth. And it's even more incumbent on the church of God. And when I say that, I mean his true people, true believers, to proclaim the truth. Proclaim the truth, and then you just leave the results to the Lord. But proclaim the truth. All right, here's our summary. As believers, here's what we're called to do. The minute we're saved, the minute we become his, this is what we are called to do from that moment forward for the rest of our lives. Number one. Know the truth. If you remain in my word, you will come to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. If you remain in my word. Know the truth. Number two, believe the truth. There's a lot of people that know the truth. They just don't believe it. You probably know some of those people. Hey? You can take it or leave it. The truth stands on its own. But as believers, we are to know the truth. You'll never know it except for the Word of God. So stay in the Word of God. And number two, believe the truth. When you read the truth, do you believe the truth? And the truth isn't just the stuff of, well, God's holy and God's righteous and God's this. But when it says, don't do that, there are bad consequences for doing that. Do you believe that? That was the first truth. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you believe it? Know the truth. Believe the truth. Embrace the truth. There's a difference even between believing it and actually embracing it. Embracing it means I bring it in where it begins to change my life. I don't just believe it. Yes, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. But embracing it means, therefore, I must be different. And how I feel, everything, all of it. Because when we really embrace it, that's when it gets assimilated. That's when it begins to change our lives. The medicine doesn't start to work until you swallow it. And it starts circulating in your system. Have you ever thought about that? You swallow an aspirin. You know what happens to that aspirin? You know what happens to it. It dissolves. And then after it dissolves, what does it do? It winds up going through your bloodstream. And that's when you begin to feel the effects of it. That's what it is. We hear the truth, sometimes we believe it. We never really embrace it. We never really, know the truth, believe the truth, embrace the truth. Four, live by the truth. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. The proof is in the pudding. I said on all these cook shows, they mix the ingredients and they show you how to do everything. But always at the end of the show, they've got the little spoon and they're like, The proof is in the final result, right? Know the truth, believe the truth, embrace the truth, live by the truth. And this will all men know that you are my disciples in that you what? Have love one for another. Now, how are people going to know that we have love one for another except by the way we act and behave and what we do? What they can see. What's visible. Not some little warm, fuzzy feeling in our hearts. Number five, hold to the truth. Would the enemy steal it from us if he could? Would he get us to soften our stance on it if he could? Would he get us to make a swap of a little piece of it for something else if he could? Of course he would, in a heartbeat. And believe me, he never misses an opportunity. So hold to the truth. Number six, proclaim the truth. Some of us believe it, embrace it, try to live by it, but we're a little bit timid on opening our mouths. But if I read my Bible right, the truth is to be proclaimed. When the Lord sent Isaiah and said, go tell these people, when he sent Jeremiah and he said, go tell these people. When he sent Ezekiel and he said, go tell these people. Were they telling the people things they wanted to hear? I don't think so. But the Lord said what? Proclaim it. He says to Paul, when he's still Saul and he's just saved him. Or he says to Ananias, actually, he says, this guy's a chosen vessel for me. He's going to stand before kings and he's going to give witness to me. Told somebody not long ago, Paul, when he's before Festus, what does he do? He gives his testimony. when he's before King Felix, when he's before King Agrippa, what does he do? He gives his testimony. Unafraid. Not accusing, nothing. He's just telling them the truth of what happened, and he's proclaiming Christ. So we're to proclaim it. And seven, we're to defend it. There aren't a whole lot of people defending the truth anymore. But Jude said, defend it. Defend the truth that was once delivered to the saints. So I hope that as believers, and I hope that as a church body, the truth that we have heard, we will not only believe it, but we will embrace it, we will live by it, we will hold to it, we will proclaim it, and we will defend it. And in the end, when we stand before the Lord, what will he say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So let's continue in the truth. Let's continue in the Word of God. The world's going to go however they go. And at some point, the sky's going to open and the Lord Jesus Christ has come back. And in the meantime, we just need to hold on to the truth. And that's what I hope, that when he comes back, that's how he'll find us. Knowing, loving, embracing, living by his truth. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you've given us your truth. You've given it to us. Given it to us. All we have to do is read it, study it, know it, assimilate it. Ask for the guidance of your Holy Spirit to just show us the meaning, not only just the technical meaning, but what it means in our own lives to be reacting according to your truth. That our lives, Lord, will be founded on your truth and not founded on the precepts of this world. And that we will love your truth more than we love life itself, and that we will never, ever be bashful or embarrassed in any way by the truth. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's your truth, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. So, Father, thank you for your truth, and may we hold to it more firmly every day. And may we walk in it, and may it be so evident that no one can miss it. Continue to work in us and continue to transform us by your truth. That's our prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen.